take a side trip today. Scriptures say that we are judged by every idle word. God knoweth every thought before even if it isn't spoken. How can that be? There are billions of people. So how can that be?
Like, how can you be omniscient, omnipresent? How is that possible?
Well, I know how that's possible, because the New Jerusalem came down. But I don't believe that he even sees a fallen man.
If you don't believe in free will, you have to believe that.
What?
If you don't believe in free will, if you say we do not have free will, then you have to believe that God is able to know everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do, every thought and every action before you do it.
That's only true for believers.
Well, that's what I'm speaking of here. Who are you speaking of? Non-believers?
Well, I'm just saying for the we're not. That's why I said.
Is that a correct assumption that you have that those two things are
right?
It's an if then.
Right. If there's no free will.
If there's no free will, then what you say must be true.
Right. But how is that? How can that? How can that possibly be done? There's only one way it can possibly be done, and that is the third person of the Trinity is in and is active in every person that names the name of Christ. Every person that is born again, in terms of born from above. Let's look at this and see if we can come to some understanding. Go to John 5.
Wait a minute, how can that be true only for believers? That has to be true across the board.
Yeah, I would think it would be true across the board.
For non-believers or non-born again, John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil. There's nothing you can do that isn't already of him. He doesn't pay any attention to that. He doesn't even see that. It says our iniquity has hid our face from him. His face, our face, hid us from him. This is important, because if we can comprehend this, we may be able to understand why total emptying is so important. What are you shaking your head about?
I don't understand how those things are.
If there's only two wills in the universe, or really only one, but there's the will of Satan, who is the antagonist, and the will of God, who is perfect.
There's not a different set of rules for believers than there is for non-believers. It either is or it isn't.
He doesn't even see non-believers.
He doesn't even see non-believers.
That's what Isaiah says.
When you become a believer, he sees you?
Well, he sees Christ. He sees Christ in you is all he ever sees.
But the seed's in all flesh.
Hmm?
The seed is in all flesh.
Yeah, but it's not manifest because it's held in prison in the temple by you.
Spoils his omnipresence to say that he doesn't even see him.
Well, we've not done it. doesn't spoil his omnipresence. The fall spoiled the idea of, let's go to Isaiah 59. Let's get this saved. Verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. He cannot behold iniquity, it says in another place. And iniquity is the definition of the fall, because iniquity, Avin, is self-seeking. As long as self is in the picture, he doesn't even see. But the Holy Spirit is moving on all flesh to convict them of the three things. Sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because he's gone to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world has been judged. So the Holy Spirit is always the enemy, causing he who is not born from above to never reach rest, never reach Sabbath, never reach seven. So his number is 666. And the number on your forehead is always a metaphor for how you think. And the number on your hand is a metaphor for what you do. So until you understand that you are the instead of Christ, you are the Antichrist, and 666 is written on your forehead and on your right hand, because that's all that you're capable of doing and thinking. Discuss this if you don't see it.
I don't think God didn't have his eye on you before you had your profound experience.
He saw the end of the movie. He knew which ones. God has wrought all our works in us.
So before you were a believer,
the Holy Spirit did. But he saw the end of the movie. So he knew who would repent. Remember, he's looking from the top down.
Right. So, I mean, your statement's a little too...
Only if you look from the bottom up.
Well, now you got to discern. You can't even say
it's never your business who is or who isn't.
So God's only interested in those that he is.
Well, he's only interested in the bride. Okay, I'm saying what we just read. Your iniquities have hid his face from you.
And that's believer or not.
From you, let's read what again what it says. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The reason we're doing all this is I'm trying to get to a better understanding, to see why the mind of Christ is so important. Okay, let's go to John 5 now. Mm-hmm. verse 17. This is when he was at the pool of Bethsaida and he healed the man. And then in verse 16 it says, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. There's no separation. Remember, we've talked about this many times. Let's look it up in verse, the same chapter. Well, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. Now, there's no possibility of union with God and in Christ as long as you are continuing in self-seeking. Self-realization, concerned with self. That's why the predicate of Christianity is your death. Now that's a biggie. And you might as well, we got to face that. Let's go to John 10. Go to John 14. Start in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, again, Jesus did nothing but what he saw the Father doing. He did nothing of himself or from his own being, his own mind. This is why this idea of the mind of Christ is so critical. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4. verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Now that's a biggie. Now you know, well, that's since we're in 1 John, go to 1 John 2. Verse 20 is just one verse. It's the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Now remember, what is the word anointing? Remember? Christos is the word for anointing. The Christos that you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but the same Christos teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even so hath taught you, you shall abide in him. The word anointing is just Christ, Christos. Now how can it be possible that you, no man can teach you anything? You know why you come to Bible study? That's why most people think they come to Bible study. I've told you from the very beginning that I can teach you nothing. All I can do is be a witness to what you already know, that it will spark that boom and cause you to truly understand the cross and truly see yourself as dead, mortified. You're mortified, the totality of your being. Not sometimes. I in him, him in me, and both in God. Now, let's go to Philippians. Chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being, or being isn't in this text, but who in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Again, that word is kino, empty to the point of a vacuum. And took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let the dam burst. Any attempt to protect yourself, any attempt to benefit yourself, is then you're building the dam up again. Remember we talked about the first part of Jesus' name is Yesh. In Hebrew, yesh is the action of a dam breaking and all the water flowing out. Rushing out of his body, your belly shall flow rivers of living or life-giving water. Why? because he is your only life, and you've stopped doing anything which protects you or yours. That's what sanctification is. The real meaning of sanctification is letting that dam that's keeping you, you are keeping the Son of God in prison, and you in the deepest recesses of you as the temple. Because you have another God that you are the vessel for, the God of this world. And he is resurrected himself from the head wound by your giving breath to self. Because it's a denial of what's already finished. Let this mind be in you. You do nothing of yourself. Your guidance is, if you have more than one option, you do nothing. Your works never lead you. Your works always follow. Because you've heard that voice saying, blessed are they from henceforth which are dead in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works will follow them instead of lead them. Do you understand? You have it within you to be truly in his name. Not trying to be in two names. Born from above. That's what the first century church, they abandoned themselves, never protecting themselves. And their life was a life like no other. As he is in this world, so are we. Never protecting yourself, always in peace. Critical issue is just let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then all of those scriptures that talk about in that day shall come to pass in you. That costs you everything. That's why evangelism in the first century was what we've talked about so often. It was opposite. And the very last one before, you know you not that they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service? Be hated of all men? Oh no, that can't be us. That was for the first century. No. Point is, there's more power in you than there is in the biggest hydrogen bomb that ever existed. But you have to see the end. You're not trying to die, you're already dead. You have to just go to war with this thing called your mind. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down all imaginations. In every high place that exalts itself for gut knowledge against the knowledge of God. Reveal that man of sin, the son of perdition, in you. And then see his death in you. See that you've invented yourself. See that you've always been a vessel for deity. Now let the true deity reign. Passover is the beginning of months. Passover is the beginning for you. If you see on Passover that you died with him on the cross and never again resurrect yourself, never again protect yourself, never again be concerned with self in any dimension, as then you will, as he is in the world, so will you be. saw the fire.
Yeah, but I don't think there was a time frame there.
And there wasn't Satan's half second. You remember when we studied that?
Yeah, I think it's where time and eternity join, and it's a new thing, in that you see the Father do it as you observe it taking place.
No, it's instantaneous. There's no time. It's boom, boom.
Said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's that understanding past the synapse here, and you watch God do. And I just know that's how Christ walked. And I'm sure he was amazed himself at the wonder of it.
But that's your heritage.
Yeah.
That's your possession. You can dwell there 24 hours every day. Your life is no longer your business in any dimension, any part of it. Now, at the bottom line, this Passover is the beginning of that letting the mind, his mind, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Letting, which is a complete and total abandonment of self. There's nothing new here. And then it's tested in the body. You can act like this as if you're not, you know, you can be the Lone Ranger, live in a cave. But we are to be in the world, but not of the world, so that everything in the world is pushing against this mystery. You've seen the end of all things, so you just, nothing affects you. All right, that's Passover in a circular way, but John, did that help any? Jeff?
I understand.
I mean, again, if you think we've gone through this, if you think that your mind has value, then you got to keep doing it until you see that it hasn't. I mean, if you're on the mercy seat, then automatically your speech will be seasoned with salt. Automatically you'll speak from the oracle of God. Above all, that's why Paul said, above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. Letting just bubble forth all the time, boom, 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 without a governor. Because your only governor has to be the God of this world. He's trying everything in his power to keep you from doing that. Well, if I said that, I'd hurt somebody's feelings. Or if I said that, somebody might not like me. You know, I mean, those protection things are endless. And this is the area where you protect yourself the most. And not bubbling forth. Remember, the word prophesy comes from the word that means it's the action of the wine fermenting. All the dregs go to the bottom and the crap goes to the top, and then for 7 lees, the 7 days of linear time, if you will, it's poured. I mean, it's scraped off at the top and then poured carefully so none of the dregs go into the next, and then done it and repeated 7 times. This is 7 days of linear time. Every man only has 7 days of linear time. It's a whole mystery of God. That's why the Sabbath is not a day of the week, it's a person. He's in every man, but most keep him in prison. That's why the prison, let the prisoner go free. It doesn't have to do with creating a prison ministry.
Singing the wine analogy and the prophecy and the mind wants your prophecy to be well respected and accepted and smart sayings or whatever. But in the wine analogy, it's all crap. You know, it bubbles to the top, and the wine will be crap.
That's what I've taught for 40 years.
Crappy bottle of wine.
All right, consider these things. If you see, then repent once and for all time. You don't have to, you know, you just see the stupidity. You've got to have seen the stupidity of your opinions and your ideas and your mind. And you can't, you've gone there. Don't go to get the sour milk again. Just from this point forward, abandon yourself completely.